If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once-a-week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell. So you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, unexplained noises in the attic lean one couple to believe their home may be haunted. And a dark, grisly figure terrifies children while they try to enjoy an innocent sleepover.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. This is the ghost story show that is around all year long. I'm saying this because this is airing in October and a lot of folks are finding us in October for the first time. This is not just a Halloween show. This is a show we do 3 days a week, technically 4 days a week with our bonus episodes. It's ghost stories year round. So if you like us, press subscribe. Be sure to follow us on social media. And if you really, really like the show, support us and get the advanced episodes and bonus episodes, EPP episodes, over at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Tony Bruschi. Sean joining us, and how are you this fine day?
Oh, I'm good. You just interrupted my snack time, Tony.
Your snack time?
Yeah, I just made a customized trail mix of the all-time worst Halloween candies. It's actually terrible, but I made it, so I can't blame anybody but myself.
That's what usually trail mix is. It's just a bunch of shit thrown together. So what's in your Halloween or worst Halloween trail mix?
Yeah, it's funny you asked. There's some jujubes. That's kind of the main ingredient. And then I've tossed in some Good and Plenty and some Bitto honeys that I got trick-or-treating when I was 12, which was 1894. So
all that, you could like take a bite of that and your mouth would like probably not reopen. It would just be stuck together in this thing of waxy, gluey candy.
It's a little gamey, not going to lie. So walk down with some coffee and water and we'll make her through.
Good and Plenty's, were those like the licorice, the candy-coated licorice? Is that what that was?
Yeah, they are the, of course, as you remember, the magenta/purplish and white, what looked like pills.
They did.
So there you go. Now, their distant step-cousin, Mike and Ike's, which look nearly identical, but they're more of a green and gold, if you will.
And fruity.
Actually are good.
Yeah. Do they still make the Good and Plenty's? Are those still around? Is that still a candy?
I'm eating them, so. Oh, yeah.
that doesn't necessarily mean that that's an accurate description of do they still make them.
Found a pack in the attic. Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They I don't know, regionally, do they have the store Gordman's in your neck of the woods?
Yeah.
Do they have Gordman's?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you right by the registers, they have a kind of clearance bins, but they're not clearance bins because they're always there. You have kind of all your candies. They're great before you go to a movie, before you spend, you know, $7 on a pack of Skittles or Swedish Fish or Good and Plenty's, Mike and Ike's, Hot Tamales. Like 99 cents at Gordman's. So, yes, they still make this horrific pill-popping, like, terrible candy.
So you sneak outside candy into the theaters? Is that what you're telling us?
The significant other puts them in her purse. I just cinched the belt a little tighter, and you, like, the lip there right behind the belt buckle. Who hasn't? Come on.
I can't believe you would do such a thing.
It's dark.
I can't believe you aren't willing to pay $8 for a pack of Sour Patch Kids.
Bunch of crunch.
Yeah.
They're good. And I will say that nothing, you know, growing up when you went to, I can remember going to the movies with my mom. I mean, you know, when you really want to mix it up, usually it's, hey, let's go to the Golden Archers or this, that, or the other. Or you can watch The Simpsons tonight because I just live a little bit crazy. But going to a movie and getting the popcorn and being able to get one, because obviously you get 12 to 15 choices of candy. Getting the one choice, and back then it was expensive. Now it's absolutely absurd. But you kind of felt special because you knew that your mom was going to then, at the time, probably what, $3 for a giant size Kit Kat. But as an adult, no, I'm not going to pay $8.50. I will pants candy, and I'm okay with that.
You will pants candy, and you're okay. Now, I remember there was many times my mom would always put stuff in her purse, like a can of soda and a candy or something that we get at the grocery store, and then we'd get it. What was more fun to watch though was when my Aunt Holly would be going to the movies with her kids, and if we all went together, because there was three of them and one mom, and then that purse was, this was before moms had like ginormous purses that were the size of duffel bags, so she was sticking, you know, all these, you know, cans of soda and God knows what else into this purse. There's probably like nothing else in the purse other than sugary sweets and candy. I'm amazed like the cans of soda didn't burst open at some point because she was trying to get it all into the theater in this little thing of candy. Good memories though. I remember doing that. And I, you know, I honestly haven't been to the theater in so long. I wouldn't pay it. I understand. I agree.
As sarcastic and facetious as we are about many topics, you take three kids, your child, your children, and then they bring a friend or a friend of a friend. I mean, you are pushing $100
easily.
Even sit down in the theater to watch the previews, the drink and the popcorn and the candy and the tickets.
It's just going to be a really weird conversation when the child that you're looking after gets home. Oh, how was the time with your friend there? Well, my friend's dad, he pulled a lollipop out of his pants, the pocket with the zipper. And that's just going to be a really weird, really weird moment.
Officer, what are you doing here?
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Our first letter says, my husband and I moved into one of the oldest houses in town when we were first married. It was a two-story home, but the upstairs was more of attic space and wasn't finished. The stairway was also extremely narrow and had a small landing at the base where you turned left to go up. It was so narrow that your shoulders nearly touched the walls while climbing the narrow steps. They were so steep. The original home had been added onto twice, but then the living room, our bedroom, and a portion of the home that had the second floor were the original parts of the house. We had no issues at all for the first several months that we were living in the home. We're Christians and pray over our house, our dreams, and our family every night. One afternoon, we were watching Long Island Medium, which apparently inspired my house to look up, inspired my husband to look up stories about Ouija boards, a big no-no in my book. I was unaware of this as he was doing it on his phone, but later that evening, we began hearing noises upstairs. Being in the South, we assumed it might have been a critter, squirrel or some other animal, that found its way into the house. I put some large boxes up there when we moved in, but had made sure that everything was lying flat since the house was older and had windows on the top floor. However, even on windy days when I was up there looking through the boxes, I never felt a draft. Anyway, on this day, we went back upstairs after hearing some thuds and nothing was out of place. Again, could feel no wind. The door to the attic had no latch, but was so tight that we never had issues with it coming open. We continued to hear thuds upstairs and finally a loud bang. A few moments later, I was sitting on the couch across from the door that leads to the attic upstairs when I watched the door slowly creep open all the way and then slam shut. I could have chopped it up to the air pulling it, only no windows were open, the AC was off, it was a nice fall evening, and the attic door had a small wall to the right of it, which would have prevented it from having a gust of wind slam it shut. I began praying over the house and rebuked whatever spirit had found its way in, and we never heard or had issues after that. I've always been sensitive to paranormal things, such as what I believe was a spirit that stayed on my parents' property during my childhood. My brother and I both recall feeling this presence throughout our childhood and even into our teens, but never discussed it with each other until a couple of years ago. As a result, I always make sure I pray over my family every night. When I forget, I tend to have terrible nightmares. Well, it sounds like there certainly could have been something going on there, especially with the emotional feelings that were being picked up and then some of the unexplained noises that were going on throughout the house. Did you ever have...
You can't really factor the squirrel up in the attic. There's definitely more to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever have anything happen in your house that just freaked you out but had a logical explanation to it once you kind of got down to the bottom of it, whether it was something when you were younger you didn't understand how something worked, or even just older and you discovered, oh, I didn't know it could do that?
Many a times there are situations where I just give you a vanilla no. This is something that absolutely growing up, parents divorced, all's good, mom, dad, big parts of my life, but I would stay over at my dad's, and the upstairs bedroom had two beds that, so you got the closets above, and then the beds literally, you can push them into the wall underneath the closet. I don't know what that's called.
Murphy bed.
Clearly, there you have it. So as it was, I was taking a nap. And it wasn't quite bedtime, but it was dark. And I can remember I was probably five-ish and took a nap and woke up and I was in the wall.
Oh, God.
My sister pushed the bed under the closet into the wall when I was asleep.
And you didn't wake up. You didn't wake up going from lying down horizontally to being vertical in the wall. That did not wake you.
It stayed horizontal. You would pull it out, kind of like if you're a mechanic and you go into the car to oil change or what have you. You literally stay horizontal and the bed would push. You could pull it out and you push it in and it would go horizontally under the closet on that wall.
It's like a trundle. Yeah. It's like a trundle bed. Okay.
Okay. There you have it. Trundle bed. So, yeah, I woke up and essentially it's as though you're in a casket.
Yeah.
And I shit myself, not literally, but figuratively. And luckily she was nice enough because, you know, she is my sister and didn't want to terrify me 1000%, left a little crack that I could get my hand up onto the wall above it and then push myself out. And then I proceeded, of course, to go find her, and she may have a bruise scar to this day. I don't know. And again, I was five.
Sure.
So yeah, any time that I then stayed over at my dad's and I was just about asleep, my dad would, there was a bed next door that he would, what I thought, fell asleep on. But then when I realized later in life, he would wait just until I fell asleep and then he would go downstairs and you know, go to bed. So yeah, nothing major. Just clear issues with that. You?
The one thing that would go on in our house all the time, the doors would slam by themselves. And if you didn't think about air pressure, you could think it was haunted. But the thing is, these doors, they were the, like, no insulation, paper thin, all pretty much like just very lightweight doors. I don't even know if they make them that light anymore. Just the thinnest of wood. And that was pretty much every interior door in the house. So if you had the doors open, which they always did for ventilation, because my parents did not believe in air conditioning in the summertime. So this is primarily when it would happen. That then you shut the patio door, it changes the pressure in the whole house. And these doors, you could tap them, a mouse could tap it, and it could shut very easily. So that pressure would then make all the doors settling in the whole house just slam shut simultaneously. And it could be very jarring if you're just like sitting there quietly, just reading,
hanging out,
reading a book,
cribbage.
Boom. And you could mistake that for a demon easily. But nope, just air pressure and shitty doors is all it
comes. Air pressure and shitty doors and shitty sisters.
There you go. That's what it all comes down to. 855-853-4802, our number. Next letter says, hey, Tony and Sean, first off, thank you for producing such a fantastic podcast. After my cousin told me about it, I've been hooked. Listening makes the days go by a little faster and keeps me entertained and alert when I'm at work. Sadly, I don't remember my grandmother, nor really got the chance to get to know her, but from what everybody in the family says, she was a great, loving, and caring woman. My grandma passed away when I was very young. I was about 15 or so. And after what that was told that I kept in touch with her. My parents say that they would catch me playing in my room and I'd be talking to someone. When they would ask who I was talking to, I'd tell them that grandma was here and she said hi and that she was okay. As the years went by, I always felt this sense of love and care for her, even though I didn't get to know her. Somehow I always knew the love and care she had for me was very present. When I was about 9 to 10 years old, I remember spending the night at my cousin's house, which was the house my grandma passed away in. When I would spend the night, I'd usually sleep in my cousin's room, the room she passed away in, or on the couch in the living room. Now, on this night, I slept in the living room, and from there, you can see the opening which leads to both of my cousin's rooms. To the left was and to the right was S. Those are initials for the cousins. I recall waking up in the middle of the night and feeling this presence. I wasn't scared, but it felt as if someone was looking at me. I turned over to look towards my cousin's rooms and saw this short figure with a long black gown, red lips, arched eyebrows, and a pale face. I really couldn't make it out or recognize the face for some reason. However, as I looked, she looked back at me, turned and walked into my cousin's room. After that, I turned over and went back to sleep. I didn't tell my cousins until years later, and in a way confirmed that it was my grandma. Sorry for this long story. I have another one to add on top of this, but I'll save that for another submission. Thanks for listening. I hope this gets aired so you can tell me what you think of this or if there's any meaning behind the encounter. I'd like to get any feedback, even though this occurred many years ago. Thanks again, Alejandro from Colorado. Well, I think it's pretty cut and dry there. You got grandma that had been, I guess, watching over you for a while, and she made herself known in that time that you were at your cousin's house.
I would agree there. You say that this Alejandro had not ever met this lady. She seemed that not only she watching over, I mean, nice to meet you. I obviously did not have the opportunity to meet you while I was on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Here is an opportunity. Again, we always go back to it when you see or you think you see two things. A, you think you're just stressed out or tired or, man, I probably should lay off that stuff. Or it immediately goes to fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think this is a very standard, if you will, visit.
Yeah.
And
There's not a lot of deciphering there that I think needs to be done. And it's I got nothing else to add. I think Alejandro just I wanted to share the story and make sure that we didn't go, oh, my God, did you happen to notice that in there you described that she had her leg. It was backwards, you know, and her foot was facing the wrong direction. Then I'd have some comments. But it sounds like it was her. And that he had seen her as a child and they played together. And it's some of those years you don't remember a whole lot of stuff. But I think if I were to guess, she was probably the one that was assigned to be kind of the watching over person of him as a child and maybe even further into life. I don't know.
It's pretty cool that he had the opportunity to have that. There's many people that you remember, ones you love that have moved on that you never have. Mm-hmm. You never have that happen. He was the one that happened to have that for me. I mean, my grandma, I always remember my mom telling me that whenever you see a butterfly, that I take it as, you know, she's saying hi and such. But in this case, the person themselves, it wasn't an animal or a flower or a memory or a smell or a color or something that happened that reminded me of them, she just kind of was there.
Yeah. And sometimes that's really all you need. I had my grandfather passed away about 4 or 5 years ago now. And he loved birds. Birds were his thing. He always, you know, I always remember going to the library with him as a kid and he'd get bird books. And I remember I got him a bird book for Christmas 1 year. And shortly after he passed, I always really admired him. He was a very smart man and a very just a kind-hearted guy. After he passed, I felt like I was constantly, and to this day here, since I moved here to Branson, funny story, I had no idea that he and my grandma used to love coming over here, and they would come down here from Wisconsin, which is quite a trek, and they loved going to the shows and doing all that stuff here, but I swear to God, when I'm kind of stressed out or something, and if I think about him, I see cardinals, like ridiculous amounts of cardinals.
Wow.
and I always thought right after he passed, I saw a couple cardinals like the next day, which I didn't see that often in Kansas because I was there when that happened. And now I see just cardinals all the time everywhere. And I don't know if it's him or a sign or whatnot, but it's just it's one of those things where it kind of makes you think of the person. Never did come in to be a ghost for me, although I did. I'm not kidding. I was recording the show one night and it was early on in the show, probably in the first year. I have no idea what episode, because that's going to be the next email I get, is what episode was this on? And he was in hospice. We knew it was going to be any time. And I was recording a show that night. And I was talking about him on the air. And all of a sudden, I heard a door slam in the house. And Jen was out with the girls. And I didn't know what I thought. Maybe they got home early or something. And well, what the heck was that? So I go out and I look. And nothing had happened at all. And my thought was that I was then going to get a call and, you know, say, hey, you know, he just passed. He lived for another 3 or 4 weeks. So I can't say it was him. But I swear to God, when I did that episode, I thought, and I even said it on the air, I said, I have no idea what that was. I just searched the house. I couldn't find anything to explain the sound. I don't know if I'm going to get that call now, but if I do, here's my marker of showing that I this did in fact happen. It wasn't. So I don't know.
Well, what do you chalk that up to then?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Air pressure.
Shitty doors,
pretty much. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. The Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to a caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony. It's Misha again from the UK. I called in a few weeks ago about the haunted nursery I used to work in. And I was actually really glad that Carol got to listen to that one, because when I recorded it, I hadn't heard her speak much, but then have heard obviously since then how much she loves, like, well, worries about ghost children and how she feels about them. So I was glad that she got to hear a happy ending with a ghost child. Anyway, I've just got a short story today. When I was at uni, or as you would say, college, I lived in a shared house with 3 other people, and one night I was home alone, which in itself was really unusual, because normally at least 2 of the 4 of us would be in, if not all 4, to be honest. I was watching the local news and there was a story on about an escaped killer, and I got myself all freaked out, even though the killer had escaped from a prison about 30 miles away, so there wasn't even any chance that he would even be in my town, let alone be able to break into my house and get me. But I'd got myself all freaked out, so I tried to calm myself down, and I went into the kitchen to get some water, and as I was turning on the tap, I felt a breath on my neck and I heard like an exhale, and well, I just freaked. So I ran into the living room and turned on cartoons and hid under the blanket and never spoke of it to anyone. I don't know what that was. That might have been like just a spirit messing with me, because it could tell I was scared, or it might have been my imagination. I'd love your input on that one. Thanks. Love what you guys do, and I'll probably call in some more because I've seen so many things in my time. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Shitty doors is my answer to that one, too.
Shitty doors. Exhaling shitty doors. Somebody escaped from prison?
Yes. And then she was fearful that this person was going to come to her house. I get that. But it was a little ways away. So, but then just to have that, you're at the tap, you're kind of standing there vulnerable in your house, and you feel that feeling. And that's a very distinct feeling. It's one thing to have, you know, a fan blowing back and forth. You can feel that air that's kind of consistent, but just that little breath right behind you, that's very distinct. That's very identifiable as a person being there. And if there's no person there, that's unnerving.
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of is, depending upon what time of year this is, the air goes on, the heat goes on. But again, you usually hear the central air unit or the furnace kick in before you get that vent blowing on you.
I would go with what she almost assumed there of, you know, she was kind of in a vulnerable state. Her anxiety was up. Sometimes that's the trigger. Sometimes that's the attraction point if there is something paranormal around there to try and intervene because you're at a more vulnerable state. And we see that quite a bit. 855-853-4802, the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to this one. Hi, what's your story?
Hey guys, my name is Stephanie, and I'm a brand new listener. I've been listening for about a week, and I've been binge listening to all of your podcasts. I'm hoping to become a subscriber soon, you know, to get the extra episodes and stuff. But let's go ahead, and I will share my story. So, a little bit of background on this. My great-grandmother, whom we called Granny, she had a boyfriend, which is, you know, kind of like her. I don't think she was ever single in her life. By the time she died, she actually had a total of 6 different husbands plus this boyfriend. Well, this boyfriend's name was Burlt, and he actually lived directly across the street from her. And he lived in this 3-bedroom, 1-bath, pink house. Like, this house, super pink. I always loved it when I was a little kid, obviously. Little girls love pink. And I really loved this man. He was very grandfatherly to me. And when we would go over to see my granny, you know, part of the excitement was getting to go across the street to the pink house to see Burlt. And, you know, as the story goes, The pink house was his late wife's decision. You know, this house, pink on the outside, it had pink toilet, pink tub, pink sink, you know, pink stove, pink everything. And he actually even wore, which is, I think, a bit crazy, he wore his late wife's pink bathrobe and pink slippers around the house. So he was a bit of a kooky guy, but he was all around very nice. And I would go over there, you know, sit in his lap, and he would read me books, and we would talk about school, and, you know, I would talk to him, and it was just a really good relationship. And across the street from the house was a big, you know, kind of catty corner to the house. There was this big field where every spring a bunch of, you know, weeds, wildflowers, things like that would grow up, and they would bloom. And I would go across the street, and I'd pick them all for him and bring them to him as little bouquets. And he would always get so excited, you know, oh, thank you for these beautiful flowers, and that would make me really happy. Well, he ended up passing away when I was about 5 years old. He died of cancer. He was on hospice at the time, so he actually passed away in that pink house that he had loved so much, that reminded him so much of his wife. So, you know, that was probably the best way for him to go. He willed everything that he owned to my great-grandmother, my granny, who lived across the street, and it was her decision to give my parents the house. It was bigger than the house we currently lived in. We moved in pretty much right away. my parents were in charge of the estate sale and all of that. And me and my sister didn't have to share rooms anymore, which was fantastic. You know, a little bit of privacy. The room I picked out in the house was the room that actually shared a wall with the bathroom. So, you know, that was just the room I picked out that I wanted so bad. We had estate sales, sold a lot of this stuff. You know, Mom did a lot of repainting and stuff like that in the house. Well, while he was still alive, he had this moldy, nasty shower curtain that was pure white that had slowly turned like a brown color over the years. My mom bought him a present, a new shower curtain. It was like this yellow shower curtain with little butterflies on it. You know, it was something she really liked, so she hoped he was going to like it. Put the shower curtain up for him. And he was very particular about how his house was supposed to be kept, and it made him very upset. You know, because he only wanted white shower curtains, because that's what color your shower curtain is supposed to be. You know, I feel like he kept the house the way his wife had it while she was alive. So Mom took down the shower curtain, went and bought him a brand new white shower curtain. It was all good. It was resolved. Well, when we moved in, my mom had kept that shower curtain, and she put that shower curtain up. The first night we officially stayed there, you know, we moved our stuff in, put the shower curtain up. I moved into my bedroom, went to sleep that night, and I woke up pretty late at night because I could hear footsteps going into the bathroom. I figured it was either my mom or my dad, or even my sister, going to the bathroom that late at night. Well, I never heard the door open or close, and sure enough, that shower curtain was yanked down from the wall. Like, the whole rod had come down from the wall. It was a tension rod, so you could actually see where it had been yanked down. You could see the scuff marks on the paint of the wall, that so much force had to be used to pull that shower curtain down. My whole family wakes up. We run into the bathroom. You know, my parents chalk it up to Dad didn't put up the shower curtain correctly. You know, he didn't install the rod correctly. So he puts it back up. Next night comes around, I hear footsteps, and bam, shower curtain falls down again. And Dad goes, oh, you know, the spring in the shower curtain must be bad. You know, it's not holding tension. I'll buy a new one. He buys a new rod, puts it up. Next night, footsteps, shower curtain falls. And this happened every single night for about, I would say, probably about a month. Every single night. Never at the same time, you know, always at different times, sometimes earlier, sometimes later. I always heard footsteps, shower curtain. Well, my sister's friend comes to spend the night for the first time. And my dad, he was very ornery. So he's joking around with her. Just you wait till tonight. Wait till Burl pulls down that shower curtain. You know, just you wait. You know, she was getting freaked out, and my sister thought it was funny, and we all kind of joked around about it because it was very normal for us. Like, we never saw it as anything malicious. You know, it was just Burl hating that shower curtain that my mom refused to replace. So, night comes, footsteps, bam, shower curtain. My sister and her friend come out, you know, inspect what happened. We all come out to see. And my sister's friend was hysterical. Because she was freaked out. She didn't understand the dynamics in this house. She was so scared because the shower curtain fell down like we said it was going to. And she was upset. She wanted to go home. My sister was then upset. She was crying. It was this whole big hoopla. And little 5-6-year-old me, I walk into the bathroom and I say very sternly, my mom loves telling this story. I say very sternly, Burl, this is not funny anymore. You can't do this. You're scaring my sister's friend. Funny, you have to stop. You can't do this. You know, we got our laughs out of it. My sister's friend ended up staying. Dad puts up the shower curtain. Next day rolls around. I'm outside playing, and my mom calls my name. She says, Stephanie, get in here. So I go in there, go into the bathroom, and she's pointing at the sink, and the sink is full of water. And floating in the water is just handfuls and handfuls of weeds, like the flowers off of weeds that only a little kid would think was pretty, the types of flowers that I used to pick for him. And my mom says to me, "This is beautiful. You can't do this. You're going to clog up the sink." You know, and I say, Mom, that wasn't me. It was Burl. And she said, "No, you're not getting out of this. Clean it out. Thank you for the flowers. Don't do this again." So I cleaned it out. But before I left the bathroom, I clearly remember saying, "Thank you, Burl." And then I left the bathroom. Well, that night comes, I hear those same footsteps walking into the bathroom, and nothing happens. It's over. The shower curtain doesn't fall. But Burl had not left that house that was so important to him. My family never really felt it or experienced anything past, you know, the shower curtain, but I did, because I believe that Burl stayed around for me, to watch over me, in a sense. I remember when I was a little kid, my parents always thought it was weird that when I would get hysterical or upset, I would run to the bathroom. I wouldn't go to my bedroom. I would run to the bathroom, and I'd close the door. And I remember doing that because the bathroom was always extremely comforting to me, like almost like I could feel him and have that same type of comfort of sitting in his lap and having him read to me. And I would often find flowers around the house, little wildflowers that I had not picked. You know, my mom would find them around the house too, and she'd always blame it on me. You know, "Stephanie, stop leaving your flowers in the middle of the floor." I would still hear those same footsteps every night. It never scared me. He never scared me when I was a kid, because I truly believe that he was there to watch over me. About the time that, you know, I hit puberty and I started becoming a teenager, and is kind of when he started to leave my life. I didn't hear, you know, one day I didn't hear the footsteps anymore. I didn't find the flowers, and he was gone. I truly believe that he stuck around to watch over me when I was younger, to help comfort me, you know, help raise me in whatever way he was able to do. And when he saw that I didn't need him anymore, I believe he passed on into the next life. I am a very sensitive person, so I do have lots of stories. So, you know, like I said, if you guys like this one, I hope you share it with your listeners. Hopefully I will call in with some of my scarier, not so nice experiences in the future. Thank you for providing this great platform for us to relate to each other and share these stories. Take care.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. You know, I think it is one of those things where you have someone who maybe did choose to stick around and watch over. It almost then raises the question, because I always kind of bring it up as, are ghosts assigned people to watch over? Or is it more of a matter of choice where you pass on and you go, you know, I think I'm going to stick around here and watch after this person. Or if you're, in the other story, a grandparent or a great-grandparent, you know, I'm kind of curious what my great-grandkids are going to be like. I'm going to stick around till they're born, and then I'm going to hang out for a while. Is that the case, or is it more like, okay, you're dead. Okay, now what? You get this person and enjoy, whether you want it or not. I don't know.
I just think he didn't want that shower curtain up.
Or it could just be that. He really didn't give a shit about her. It was all about the shower curtain.
Here's the thing. Thanks for being sensitive. Thank you so much for thinking. And then you said thank you, and then I moved on. But really, did you not get the theme there? I left everything pink. I wore my late wife's pink robe. Hello. I was going for a thing. And then the thing that your mom put up, and she wanted to be stubborn. I mean, maybe.
Well, at least you got a...
Burl. I quite honestly think that he was mildly indecisive, because I think that he, I absolutely think that he was just very particular in how he wanted it left, even though he willed it. Excuse me. He willed it to his girlfriend, right? Because the granny was the girl. And then the fact that great granny then willed it to her parents, I think he was very matter of fact in wanting it a certain way. But then, possibly, when the caller there kind of made a plea, stop this, mm-hmm. that he may very well have had a change of heart, did a little something to remind her of him. She says a thank you, and you know, then he kind of does move on. But I think at first it was a, this is my house. I have kept it intact to the T. Take the damn shower curtain down.
You're probably right. It would make a great movie. What happens when a zany ghost who's very ornery and only likes things his way has a change of heart when a little girl moves in?
Coming up Thursday night on TBS, can you take your stubbornness to the grave?
John Ritter returns from the dead as the wacky ghost neighbor.
Plus, an all-new Saved by the Bell college years.
Burt Reynolds comes back for one last round as Principal Belding.
And what does Screech do after he graduates from college? Hello!
Goes to Port Washington and gets arrested. There you go. There you go. Saved by the Bell, the incarceration years. And on that note, I think we'll wrap up the program.
Can you really think of any other television stars growing up that you watched, that you liked, that you enjoyed, that went the route of the adult film industry? Other than
Screech. Because he did do that. I wasn't even thinking of that. I just remember because he got it arrested for a bar fight or something in Port Washington.
And you know what? And Jesse.
Yeah. So there's two. But she didn't quite do a porn. I mean, she did an adult. She did an MA-17 film.
Correct. That's like after 10 p.m. Yeah. before midnight.
Yeah. So it's it's borderline. It's like softcore. You know, it's another from the era that I heard about was it was the one who was the youngest daughter on Family Matters. I forgot what her name was, but she was the littlest girl. And then one day she just went upstairs and disappeared and was never on the show ever again.
Sherry's? Sherry?
I don't remember what her name was, but she was on the show. I don't know. She was like 7 or 8 or so and then just disappeared. The show went
Not
on.
Kelly.
And they never recognized her again. But she got into that. And I don't know. That's all I'm aware of. It's the disturbing thing is they were all from like family friendly TGIF or Saturday morning cartoon shows.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, and this has a deeper meaning and maybe it'll be a whole different topic and discussion. But when you are in so much structure, whether it happens right then and there or later on in life, you want to break out of that. Specific example, you go to a private grade elementary school, whatever the religion, but you go to a private school, you hear those stories that then they graduate and then they're reckless.
Yeah.
They had so much structure, so many rules. As an actor, you're on this after school special or safe for any age. Mm-hmm. You want to explore your acting in a different avenue that you couldn't prior.
Yeah, and some go to that extreme, and then some just go really, you know, not quite to porn, but go quite, you know, like Miley Cyrus, how she went from Hannah Montana to the kind of extreme for a little while, and now she seems to be kind of more grounded than she was a couple of years back. But it's that one extreme to the next, and especially if you're in the spotlight and everybody's on you. I mean, that's not an easy life to lead by any stretch of the imagination.
You can also make the nationwide tour of motivational speaking / preaching in everybody's favorite Seaver, Kirk
That's
Cameron.
That's true.
He's actually coming just down the road here in a couple of weeks. He'll be at a bigger church in town. I actually kind of just want to go to be like, did you ever like laugh when, you know, your dad, rest in peace, Mr. Thick. Hello, Boner.
Hey, Dr. Seaver.
Did you ever laugh because your best friend's name was Boner?
Ask them that in church and just see how that
goes.
And just say boner as many times as you can in the question while at
Hello,
church.
Hello, officer. And I have some jujubes in my pants. Really, this is okay. I was just going to go see a movie.
As you're sitting there in church with your boner! Snacks, shouting boner at Mike Seaver. That'll go over really
Which
well.
That guy actually, I believe he took his own life.
Boner did. He did. And that was several years ago. But maybe you could ask some questions if he believes boner is haunting him.
Boner.
Are you haunted by boners? Ask that question.
Wait, that came out wrong.
As you pull
I apologize, as you pull Mike Seaver.
As you pull a jujube out of your pants.
I'm sorry, Mr. Seaver. Oh. Your sister's DJ.
Nothing could go wrong from that at all. Nothing at all. We'll do a ghost story episode where you're calling in from prison that week. The audio quality will be slightly different.
You have a collect call from.
And the show's 5 minutes long. That wraps up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon. The link is there at Ghost Podcast. $5 a month. Get access to every advanced episode, every EPP bonus episode, videos, so much more. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.